Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to another show. And I guess maybe you're not watching in the evening. If you're not, good morning, good afternoon. Whenever you watch or listen, hey, say hi, Clay.
Hey, everybody. It's so what did we say? We decided this is the last one for the year, right? We're going to do this
yes,
one.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah, last one off for the year. Then we're going to take our nice little break, do all our holiday stuff and hibernate for a couple months. I'm sure we're going to keep busy. But yeah, then we'll be back fresh for, you know, whatever the first.
Sure. That first week of January, post-years, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I've been hitting the head too many times. Before I forget, happy holidays to everybody, whatever holidays you celebrate and subscribe to and all that good stuff. Happy holidays, because by the end of this show, I'm sure it'll be right out of my brain.
Yeah, I'm glad you said it, because you know it's going to be right out of my brain too. All right, guys, we'll get started right after this. Oh, hey. Well, the news cycle doesn't disappoint. They always give us something to talk about, right?
Yeah. And you know, some of what we're going to talk about tonight is ongoing. Mm-hmm. Some of it is very pointed and brand new. We never want, do we?
No.
We never want. There's always plenty of content.
Lucky us, I guess, in that weird way. So first up, right off the bat, we're talking about Hunter. Good old, sweet, good boy Hunter. poor Hunter's always getting picked on. So sad. Yeah, no, I don't feel that. So over the past week or so, they released some bombshell news that he's getting hit with a second indictment. Yes. And this one includes three.
Total of nine, right?
Nine. Three felonies and six misdemeanors. And I think now if I'm reading this right, this one stems from his failure to pay $1.4 million in taxes.
That's what this kind of revolves
around. Chump change. I mean, come on. Yeah. I have that in my pocket. Kidding. No, I don't. Yeah.
There's a couple of things outside of the appalling dollar amount, right? Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, the things that he spent money on. I mean,
yes. I think I even have this.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Right? That's a great graphic.
Right? Isn't that terrific? I mean, I can't take any credit for it. That might be Fox. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But in a four-year span, the guy spent a mortgage on, there it is, adult entertainment, and bought a complete mansion for payments to various women. Like, that's $870,000 in 4 years.
Yeah. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. And I mean stunning. By stunning, I mean appalling, disgusting, and unsurprising. I mean, this is, you know, this has been talked about for so long now by the conspiracy theorists and, you know, all the crazy loons, you know, who are posting various sites, platforms and everything, the types of things they're doing. I mean, obviously the laptop stuff alone, the stuff that was on there, is just unbelievable. And here we are. And, you know, this guy, how can you not think that he's untouchable based on what's going on right now? He's not locked up. He's got a little bad boy slap. Daddy's protecting him, you know, once again. And it stick?
So anymore? Reality-wise, I mean, you know, pretrial confinement kind of stuff is reserved to violent criminals, which he's not. I mean, this is for tax evasion stuff. It's for fraud. But, you know, is he a flight risk? You could argue that he is, but you could also argue that there's nowhere in the world he could go, with the exception of probably China at this point, where he wouldn't be identified, extradited to the United States. I mean, there's no way. And oh, by the way, if he flees, he knows and his father knows that's the end. Like he's going to have to eat this and hope for the best. But like you said, there's a level of protection based on who he is. But you know, go back to, you said it, that the laptop, right? Go back to the election of, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. The president said it. Hunter is the smartest guy I know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the smartest guy the president knows. And I get it. It's his son. You're going to wax, poetic about your children at times, but this is ridiculous. Right. Smartest guy I know. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Fatherly, whatever. There was the conspiracy theorist, like you said, about the laptop. Oh, no. That's Russian propaganda.
Right.
It's all made up. I mean, that was our Justice Department that said that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there is a level of protection. That alone is evidence that there's a level of protection.
Right.
That existed before he was elected.
Yes.
Right? Before President Biden.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is, long
goes way
time.
Back. Goes, mm-hmm. goes way back. But, here's my biggest takeaway on this whole thing is our kids, you're a parent and a grandparent, right?
Yep.
I'm a parent. Your kids are a reflection of you.
Right.
I don't care who you are. I don't care if you abandon your kids are a direct result of you abandoning them. If you pop, they're a direct, whatever parenting style or lack of parenting style that you have, your children reflect you. There are, right? I get it. There are kids with, developmental issues, behavioral issues that go, beyond the way that you've raised them into, biological, so psychological, kind of issues. But for the most part, let's talk the 95% of the population. Your kids are a reflection of who you are and how you raise them.
Mm-hmm.
This is a direct reflection on the president and the house that he raised his sons in.
Absolutely. It's really hard to see it any other way than that. You look at Biden's, as a career politician, you look at his track record and his failings and just the things that he has said over the years, just that alone, if you want to take away everything else, his ineffectiveness, his lack of doing anything of real consequence, if you look at the things that he says over the years before the senility kicked in, the guy was pretty bad. And that's just scratching the surface of, that's just what you see on the surface. And now you have all of these things, as we know, they've opened, Mike Johnson's opened the indictment inquiry, right? That's kind of where we're at right now. So now he... and if I understand it correctly, it appears that he feels that there is enough now to open this and to get some legs on it and see, see what they come up with. I mean, what they come up with, it's everywhere, and it's just more proof of all the things that we keep seeing over the years is whether it's about COVID or specifically its origin and effects and everything, all the stuff that floats out on the internet from smart people who know what they're talking about and getting, hushed up because, conspiracy. Election cycle, you can't talk about any of that. So these platforms will just shut it all down, any conversation. And then when it can't do them any harm, then they're like, okay, this might be the truth. Oh, and then after that, it is the truth. Things that people were saying, months and months and even years prior, and this whole Biden crime family, this is in my eyes and obviously not in any Democrats' eyes, apparently. This is just a matter of fact. This is a crime syndicate, this family.
Yeah.
And
it's organized white collar crime, but you're 100% right. I mean,
And it's all going to come to light. Like it's all going to come to light. It just may not be for many, many years.
Yep.
And that's the kick in the face to all the Americans, to all of us, that's the kick in the face that all of the things that we've been saying, are all going to come to light when it can't do them any harm. And that's disgusting. That's, no, that's accountability. Will Hunter get any accountability here? Will anything happen? It's, I would be stunned. I would be absolutely stunned if he faces anything more than a little bad boy. And that's it.
And you know, so a couple of things. One, so the president, I just saw the president, mm-hmm. the president said he now feels bad for running in 2020 and being elected, because if he hadn't, then Hunter wouldn't be prosecuted right now. Mm. So he's only, it's not that he committed any crimes.
Right.
It's that, you know, I feel bad because my son got caught because I ran for president is what it boils down to. And that he wouldn't be, you know, subjected to all of this while he's trying to get sober and get his life together. Mm. Like, are you kidding me? So, right. I mean, there's that perspective, which is horrible. I mean, just that. And you said it, the senility with the president, you never know mm-hmm. what's going to come out of his mouth, you know, that kind of thing. I get all of that. And that probably, maybe it is what he meant to say. I don't know, but
right.
You know, and I think back to, there have been some great and not great kids who live in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, if you go back, you know, the Obama, you know, the Obama girls, well, let's look at the Trump kids. Right.
And
they'd won in the House.
Yeah.
Truthfully was subjected to more crap than that kid ever deserved to be.
Absolutely.
Subjected to. Mm-hmm. Right. The olders I get. Right.
Right.
You know, the olders were, you know, kind of at some point staff or advisors. Okay, fine. But they're adults.
Right. Whole different playing field when they're adults.
Totally different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you had the Obama girls who got in their fair share of trouble, right?
Yep.
And continue to do, you know, there are plenty of stories about them. I think the older, you know, blatantly smoking pot, you know, while the Secret Service was standing there, you know, kind mm-hmm. of thing. Those stories are out there. Before that, you had the Bush girls who
the Bush twins, right? College. Yeah. They were a little wild.
They were a little wild at college too.
Yeah.
You know, and then you keep going back and back and back, right? You could say, you know, Bush, you know, HW, you know, mm-hmm. was, you know, he's a presidential child, not adult, right? And, you know, it's out there. He had issues with alcohol at one point in time. Okay, fine. I don't think, and as far back as I can recall, there's never been anything like this. Never.
No. I mean, if there was, it was kept so under wraps, you know, there was some, like you said, some delinquent behaviors and eyebrow raising things, but you know, all stuff that you could go, I mean, you know, all rites of passage, they just unfortunately had to do it in the public eye, essentially. And this is so far out of the scope of normal,
human behavior.
Yes.
Normal.
Yeah.
Like, let alone the child of a president. Like, this guy is so broken as a human being, but perpetuated. Like, he would never have had access to this stuff, never had access to this money, this level of influence without exploitation of who his father is and the influence that his father potentially has. Like, his entire, I won't say his entire downfall, because obviously the guy's an addict. That's a whole discussion in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But the severity of where he is at, and I mean, you could go back to that graphic with all the dollar amounts on there. There's no way he has access to that money without.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna put that up. Yeah,
like,
no way. I mean, just taking a look at that again from 2016.
ATM cash withdrawal.
Yeah. What? Yeah. First of all, my bank won't even let me take out more than, 300 at a time. So what's up with that? Yeah. I mean, if you look at those numbers, you see a, like you said, a broken, depraved, sick human with way, way, way too much access and ability. And, you know, they know, by their own admission, that the guy is a screw up, and he's been a long time screw up for decades, really. And they reward that or justify it or cover it up or what, I mean, however you want to look at it, by putting him in positions of power and authority where, you know, he can do all of these things. How is it? First of all, if you're a father trying to protect your son, trying to get him on the right path, I don't really think that's the smartest course, you know? But they just, I think the reality is they just don't care. They truly believe that they're above the law. They're above reproach. And now, you know, I don't really even think they feel any differently about it. I still think they feel like, doesn't matter. We're just going to ignore it. One, we're just going to ignore it. We're not even going to answer questions. And if you ask me a question about it, I'm just going to walk away. I'm going to, you know, I have the video somewhere. I'll put it up there of him being asked and just walking, you know, just walking away. Okay. So if there are no more questions, we'll move on to the next chapter. I'm sorry. I do have one question. Yes, go ahead. Okay. So I understand the acronym deny, exit, avoid, dismiss. I'm just having a hard time like visualizing how to put that into practice. Okay, well, the best way to explain it is to give you a couple examples. Here we go.
Biden on Ukraine and also China. There's polling by the Associated Press that shows that almost 70% of Americans, including 40% of Democrats, believe that you acted either illegally or unethically in regards to your family's business interests. Can you explain to the Americans, amid this impeachment inquiry, why you interacted with so many of your son and brother's foreign business associates?
I'm not going to comment that I did not, and it's just a bunch of lies.
You didn't interact with many of their business associates?
I did not. There's lies.
Can end this briefing if it's not going to be respectful here. Chris.
I'm saying you're a civil and African leader, and you don't take questions.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a question about gas prices.
Oh, thanks, everybody.
Can we do one about the falling gas price?
Getting defensive and you know, taking his ball and going home. You know, just that's that administration's tactic to just turn around and walk away when they don't want to answer a question. They just say, okay, we're done. Yeah, just, okay, I'm done. Bye.
happens in the press room every day.
Yes.
Every day. It's the same thing. But yeah. You're right. I mean, he's on Air Force One, right? That's been documented too, right? Since all this stuff has come out. He rides around with his dad, Air Force One. Mm-hmm. There's all of the emails, right? All of this stuff is coming out. It's becoming more and more clear. Like you said, there's indictments coming. There is going to be an impeachment process that is going to get initiated. We'll see what comes out of it. You know, that may be the nail in the coffin, too, that puts Newsom into the driver's seat to run as a Democratic candidate. Who knows where all that's going to play out? But it's coming because all the evidence is there. You said it. It's a syndicate, crime-type family.
Yeah.
The lack of, you know, humanity is just blatant. You know, we've discussed a number of times how his family lets the president continue to be the president. It's a form of elder abuse, you know, kind of thing. And then there's this, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it goes back to the simple, you know, the guy, he lies for a living. Mm-hmm. It's part of the fabric of who he is.
Yes.
And there you go. You know, he said it again yesterday. He was talking about the fire in his house that almost killed his wife. You know, everybody's been over it. It was a small kitchen fire. Nobody was, you know, but that's what he
can. Yeah. Didn't he tell that story at, what was it? Maui and in Hawaii with the fires there and
he
prepared, right? There's a great comparison. Like, stop letting this guy talk. Like, do not let him talk off the cuff. And I'm sure they try darn hard to keep him from doing that. You know, I'm sure they give him the talking points and say, just say this, just read the prompter. And he can't do it. He can't do it. It's just asking way too much.
And neither can Kamala. I guarantee you they hand her the book, right? It's the briefing book, the binder.
Yeah.
They get it. She gets it. She's supposed to look through it and get herself up to speed and, you know, and never does it. Now him, that thing probably sits in front of him. He may even read it. He may blankly stare at it. But once he gets in front of a podium and a teleprompter, all bets are off. So you don't know what's going to come out of his mouth. But but that's the environment that Hunter grew up in.
Right.
Right. And that, again, it goes back to, you know, your children are a product of you. Mm-hmm. It's, and you know, it's judgment, it's all of those things, the addiction, like all of that.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, I get it, you know, right. His mom passed away. Right.
Yeah.
Wasn't that his, right. his mom that died? There's some trauma in the, there's some trauma in the guy's life, sure. but clearly he has either been exploited mm-hmm. by his father or right. he is willfully joined in, and it's not exploitation. It's collusion for the right. two of them to try and make as much money as humanly possible. But either yep. way, as an adult, as a damaged adult, his dad's not doing him any favors. So that right. tells you what kind of human being, you know, President Biden is. And, oh, and I don't want to hear the, I feel bad for him, for me, for running for president because now he's being prosecuted and chased after and all this other stuff. No.
Yeah. No.
The big guy.
No,
I, you're in the emails. You're culpable.
As the big guy.
Yeah. It's all, yes. you're as guilty, probably worse so than your son is in this entire thing. Oh, by the way, you're guilty of exploiting or colluding with your son who clearly has issues. Right.
Right. What yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that speaks volumes about him
yes.
as a person.
Yeah. Craziness. Yeah. Oh, there's no question about it. And it's all absolutely disgusting. And, you know, and the lessons that Biden, that Hunter got growing up really is that you can do all of these things. You can lie, you can cheat, you can do all of the God knows what things that they have been doing over all these years. And you will get rewarded for it. You'll get rewarded by, you know, by with power, authority, money.
You can become president of the United States.
You can become, yeah, lie, cheat, steal, do, you know, do all of these horrible things, extortion, treason, you name it, do all of these things and you'll get rewarded for it.
Right.
You know, what else are you going to grow up thinking, I guess, if that is your climate and your environment. So, I don't, you know, I was going to say, I would love to be a fly on the wall in those private family conversations, but I actually feel like I would feel filthy just even having yeah. to be in the presence of these people, because I think those conversations would make your skin crawl, you know, because yeah, there's nothing.
I would say they're probably, I don't know, maybe this is dramatization, but they're probably reminiscent of stuff out of The Godfather.
Yes.
Right. I mean,
right.
the same type of, you know, it's handled as business. It's, you know, legally, morally, ethically wrong, but you mm-hmm. know, it is what it is. And this is how things
right.
are. And we're just going to do it anyway. And, you know, people don't understand this is, you know, this is how life works, blah, 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 blah. The conversations are probably very similar in tone mm-hmm. as an organized crime family. It yes. is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's huge yuck factor. In
yes.
sitting in on any of that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, absolutely. It's not and, you know, I mean, no matter what, it's going to be, it'll be interesting to see where this goes. You know, there's certainly conversation. Is this just yet another distraction? Like, look over here, you know, we'll sacrifice him because he's not really that yeah. important. So we'll use him as the sacrifice right now so we can work on getting this developed, you know, Newsom
right.
more than likely. You know, let's get this going behind the scenes and distract everybody with that, something we're not gonna really do anything about, but let's get them riled up and make them think we're going to do something, yeah. you know? And that's their little shell game, you know, that they like to play. Look over here, look over there. Don't look right here. You know, where the real business is going on. Right. Oh man. All right. So we're going to keep an eye on that, but, we'll move on over. Who are we talking about next? We are talking. Yeah.
The backlash, right? We've
yes.
been talking about this obviously since October. We've been yeah. talking about everything that's going on in Israel, the
mm-hmm.
you know, attacks initiated by Hamas, the retaliation
right.
by, you know, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, and everything that's been going on over there. We've been talking about that. We've talked
yeah.
on this show about the rise of anti-Semitism, blatant, outward, open anti-Semitism, you know,
yes.
in the United States. Now we're starting to see an interesting touch of backlash here and there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I
backlash all across the board. Backlash against Hollywood actors who have come out in support of Hamas or at the very least anti-Israel, which, you know, I mean, it's basically the same thing. And they are getting some swift backlash and having to kind of backpedal. And now even bigger and more important, I think, than a bunch of idiot Hollywood monkeys there is these big Ivy League college campuses. I mean, we're talking about Harvard, Penn, and MIT. I mean, this is, you know, this is the big time here. And they are getting called out, which is by Congress, which is actually a pretty big deal.
Yeah. So we had the resignation of the president of UPenn, right? Mm-hmm. So that was the first one.
Yes.
In a shocking move today, the president of Harvard was allowed to keep her job with the backing of the board of the university.
What does she have on them?
They have lost $1 billion in donations. $1 billion. Wow. And solely from Jewish and Israeli supportive graduates and donors. $1 billion, who said,
billion.
No, we're not listening to this. We're not tolerating this. This lady's crazy. All this anti-Semitic stuff that's going on campus that's being tolerated. We're not supporting this. And they pull all their money and have made it public. There have been public statements, letters written, published. It's all out there. And still, the president of the university, Dr. Gay, her name is, who sat up there in front of Congress, you know, refused to acknowledge that this is hate speech. And was
actually
allowed.
You know what, Clay, we have that. And let's show that, because her her arrogance and condescension, it just seeped right through. And it was actually pretty interesting. So let's take a look.
We embrace a commitment to free expression, even of views that are objectionable, offensive, hateful. It's when that speech crosses into conduct that violates our policies against bullying, harassment.
Does that speech not cross that barrier? Does that speech not call for the genocide of Jews and the elimination of Israel? When you testify that you understand that is the definition of intifada. Is that speech according to the code of conduct or not?
We embrace a commitment to free expression and give a wide berth to free expression, even of views that are objectionable.
You and I both know that's not the case. You are aware that Harvard ranked dead last when it came to free speech. Are you not aware of that report?
Ooh, so yeah. You know, the refusal to acknowledge the anti-Semitism, that it is more than just free speech. It is hate speech. It is bullying. It is threatening. It is outright harassment, and Jewish students are in fear for their lives on their college campus. And she's just like, yeah, no, free speech. You know, I mean, what are you going to do?
It's full of shit. I mean, just flat out, you know, because you could say the exact same message, as horrific as this is, but the same message. If you walked across campus, 30 people, shaved heads, jack boots, Nazi uniforms, waving swastikas.
Right.
Which is exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing.
Exactly
Those
the
people
same.
Would be arrested immediately.
Right. Right.
Immediately arrested.
Yes. So no question about it.
Thing, no, the free speech thing is bullshit. That's all it is. And her level of arrogance, you pointed it out, and you're 100% right. It's sickening. Now, she's under a little bit of fire herself right now.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Her doctoral thesis has been, there's some accusations of plagiarism in her doctoral thesis, which my understanding now, Harvard is trying to redefine plagiarism to get her off the hook, which I think is hilarious.
Yes.
But again, typical liberal thought process is rewrite the rules.
That's all.
Like
yeah.
Just rewrite the rules. You know,
we don't like them. Rewrite them.
Accountability. Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's full of it. This is garbage. Yeah. There's no, you can't, we have laws against hate speech in this country. Okay. And it has nothing to do with conduct.
No.
Right. We have, and we've talked about that on this show too. Why are we not seeing more, you know, hate crime discussion in all of this anti-Israel rhetoric that's going on across the United States? Why are we not seeing that? Why? Because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Right. I'm so sad and frustrated and angry for the Jewish community to live in this time, and to have this happening is so heartbreaking. You know, it's so sad and disheartening. And I can only imagine how they must be feeling to see the anti-Semitism is alive and kicking today, and you know, really, really frighteningly so. And it's just so disturbing. And to see, you know, and I got to go back to this Harvard president and Harvard in general. I don't know if you saw this, but first of all, I have to say, I think we are seeing the true decline of some of these Ivy League schools. And this one, if this wasn't enough, the fact that they have a course on Taylor Swift now is, you know, that part is just laughable. That, you know, if my kids, if I had college age kids, and if Harvard was in the realm of possibilities for them, that alone would get the hell no. Tells you everything right there that you need to know.
But so, and when I first heard about that, I was in exactly the same camp. And I know this is a little bit off topic, but having put some thought into this, mm-hmm. and I'm not trying to change your mind.
But okay.
One, in the digital age, mm-hmm. right, where we are now, any level of education where we talk about the use of social media and influencing mm-hmm. and how that works,
right?
And oh, by the way, a business course in what that young lady has done. Mm-hmm. If you take those two things and you just use her as the, you know, center piece for the course.
Right.
And I don't know what that course is about. I have no idea. All I know is if those two are the focal points of a course called Taylor Swift 101 or whatever you want mm-hmm. to call it, there's potentially some value in there. But my gut reaction was exactly what yours is, which is like, I can't believe this. This is insanity. Yeah. This is the highest level of education in the United States. And this is what they're getting. So again, off topic, and I'm not trying to change your mind. Maybe I am a little bit, but course content would be interesting to take a look at.
Yes. So I will give it that caveat that if it is what you said, if they're using it in that way, okay. That's, we can go with that. We can go with that. Is that what it is? I don't know. I just have this image of a, you know, some Fruit Loop professor coming in, you know, like Taylor Swift. Blasting Shake It Off. That's the first song I can think of that I know hers. You know, I don't know. Are they going to study her songs and, you know, give lyrical dissertations? Who the heck knows? I don't even know.
It's possible.
It is so possible. I hope somebody comments and lets us know if they know.
What department teaches it, right? That I think is the best indicator of what the course content is, regardless. Yes. Back to the real topic.
Yes, back to it. I'm sorry. That was my fault. That was my fault. I sent us aside with that. But so we have one of the three college presidents resigned as a result of all this. Liz Magel, I don't know how to pronounce her name. I think that's what it is. Yeah. Claudine Gay, as we know, they have doubled down on their support for her. I think that's going to be their undoing. I don't, will they recover from it? I have no idea. We'll see what happens. I can't imagine. Because now they're gunning for, you know, so we've already found out the plagiarism. What else is there going to be? And can they withstand? I mean, $1 billion loss, that's huge. And that may be just the beginning. So we'll see. I'm very curious to see what's going to happen. I don't know what happened with MIT, to tell you the truth, with their president.
I haven't heard a peep.
No, she's laying low. I think they're just laying low and ducking and covering and trying to get out of this as best they can. And we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it, but it is pretty interesting. And it's interesting to see the tide turning, you know, and the.
So there's another one now.
Not
related to the congressional testimony, but I don't know if you saw it. Oberlin College in Ohio. Oberlin, mm-hmm. I think it's a university in Ohio, which is renowned as potentially the most liberal university in the United States. Mm-hmm. So they have titled professor, the professor of peace. Now, this is a former, he's an Iranian, was the Iranian ambassador to the UN, has been overtly critical, harassing of Israeli students, Jewish students on campus, has, you know, potentially a role. There is charges out there, or people are trying to gain support to provide more data that it was involved in a cover-up of the massacre of 5,000-ish dissidents against the government of Iran while he was an employee there. But also just fired by Oberlin, because they found out that in 1997, now people have been protesting this guy in his position for a decade, right? Yeah. But they just found out that 25 years ago, a complaint was filed against him in a trade grades for sex kind of thing, right?
Whoa.
Way back in 1997, 98, right?
Yeah.
But they're just firing him now. Now, they have said that, you know, and words matter. This is a university, right? Mm-hmm. And a university president that said that they have, because they've been defending him as this professor of peace for a few years now, right? Mm-hmm. Just that part.
Yeah.
And now they have decided that the defense of him is untenable. Now, for those of you who are not familiar with that term, we use that term in the military often. And an untenable defense is a position that you can no longer, you can no longer defend, right?
Wow.
It's not that you don't want to. It's not that it's not still a valuable piece of terrain to own. It's the fact that you are going to lose so much, you know, in equipment and personnel and everything else to defend that, that it's not worth the loss. So it's not that they don't still support him. That's what untenable means. The defense, his defense is untenable. It's not that we don't want to defend him.
Wow.
It's just the cost is going to be too high. So they're not even admitting anything. Mm. They just found a reason to offload this guy. But he is a you know, he is a, I hate to say it, a far extreme Muslim male, anti-Semitic. It's been going on for a while. But even on the, you know, the point is on the most, on the campus of the most liberal university in the country, they are finding a reason to get rid of this guy who is blatantly anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, anti-Jew, everything. So the
backlash, you know, it's bad. You know it's bad, you know it's big when the most liberal one says, yeah, we can't, we just can't do it. Don't work.
Yeah. Right? And to use something, oh, it's 25 years old. We just found out about this.
Yeah.
We had no idea that this happened in 1997. Had we known, we never would have hired him. Really?
So that's going to be the next, do you think that'll be the next major trial we'll be watching? Because now all the, I don't know what statutes of limitations on things are or anything like that. But, you know, now I would think that that would open up a lot of lawsuits against this guy, if it's even possible to sue for, you know, I don't know, damages.
I have no idea. I mean, the potential for that is great. Like you said, statute of limitations matters, you know, but they've removed him, like his name, the nameplate is off the door. They know that for sure. Like people have looked into this. He's done. But again, that backlash for this kind of stuff, they found a reason to get rid of this guy.
Right.
They've been defending him for a couple of years. And at this point, with everything going on in the world, Hamas, Israel, and everything else, they're like, this guy's just, he's not worth the trouble. And they're getting ready
to do some damage control. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I give them zero credit. I give them no kudos whatsoever.
No.
Nothing.
None.
I think they are, even more appalling and disgusting. That it's that word that you said, it's that untenable. It's the not admission. It's, you know, non-admission of any wrongdoing, any culpability, any accountability for anything. It's just like, we're just gonna send him away. We're all done. Moving on. And, that's one of those things I think, I feel like this is like the theme throughout tonight, this one word, and it's, you know, my favorite word in some ways, and it's accountability. And in these cases, the lack thereof, this consistent refusal to take accountability for the actions that they do or not do, depending on the circumstance and the consequences of all of that, and that they get to just, you know, drop these bombs, explode all over the place, and walk away, with jobs intact. Talking about Principal Gay there. It's very, very frustrating and disgusting to me. And I don't know. I just would like to see some real accountability, some real consequence. And maybe we will see it. You know, maybe this will damage Harvard's reputation beyond repair. And do I necessarily want that to happen? No, I want them to do better, you know, be better, do better. But we'll see, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a continuation, I think, especially for the Ivy League. Mm-hmm. You know, through COVID, they learned and had to admit
this,
what everybody else already knew, which is online learning is still quality education if done correctly and done well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Places like University of Phoenix and some of these other online universities have been producing quality education programs for a long time. And what you got out of the Ivy League was, oh, wow, that's not a Harvard education. That's not Yale. That's not this. That's not that. Blah, 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 blah. And then for almost 2 years, what did they do? Online education. And you know what? Those kids who spent 2 years online getting their education online from Harvard, yeah, they got a degree that says Harvard, but they got an online education just like somebody from University of Phoenix. And you can argue the quality of the instructor, but the argument has always been online education is not as good as in-person education, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Their diploma from Harvard doesn't have an asterisk on it. It doesn't say I graduated from Harvard in 2022, asterisk, small print at the bottom, but for 2 years I had online education. It doesn't say that.
Right.
So this, on top of that, I think the luster of the Ivy League is starting to wear a little bit. I think that, you know, the man behind the curtain is poking his head out. And I think everybody's getting a real look at what these institutions really are. And that is a lot of money wasted. Truth.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of parents, you know, I think it's that quiet majority that I think really does exist in a larger proportion to everyone else. And that silent majority is, you know, moderately conservative, and they're looking at what's going on. And like, I'm not spending all that money to send my kid, you know, my nice, normal, well-adjusted kid. I'm not sending him there to have him come out some blue-haired, tantrum throwing, basement dwelling, you know, jackass. Yeah. I'm not doing it. Not going to happen. Yeah. Not on my dime.
Send that kid to a directional school. Eastern, a Western, a Northern, a Southern, a Central, a whatever.
Yes.
Send them to a directional school. Let them get a good education, get well-adjusted. And they're still going to be able to work when they get out of college, and they're not going to be in debt for, you know, half a million dollars.
Yeah.
All right. We're moving on to, you know, it's one of, and I've said this before, there are two topics in America that are instant division. Right.
Yes.
And one, we've talked about on the show, is guns. And the other one is abortion. Right.
Yeah.
But what we're going to talk about is really the grayest of gray areas.
It truly is.
Abortion. Right.
I tell you.
And this is where whatever side of the argument you're on. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those that you have to stop and think. You have to, you know, really make a concerted adult effort to understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And then you may end up readjusting your opinion in some form or fashion at the end of it. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, a woman named Kate Cox in Texas applied for an abortion in the state of Texas. Okay. Now, Texas is one of the, you know, one of the states once Roe v. Wade was flipped that, you know, did what we all want states to do. And that is they took responsibility, states' rights. They determined what was going to be legal in the state of Texas. Okay.
Yes.
And the big fear for a lot of people when it came to abortion was it was not going to be thought through and the gray areas were going to be too vast to, you know, make it reasonable. And unfortunately, this young woman, Kate Cox, fell square in the middle of this gray area.
She did. She really did.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I, you know, I think you're probably as familiar with this as I am. But there's some medical complications, right?
Right. Yeah. So the background is, Kate Cox, she's 31 years old. When she was 20 weeks pregnant, her doctors determined that the fetus had a genetic, a chromosomal, issue. It's called, and I'm probably going to pronounce it wrong. I actually don't know how to pronounce it, but I want to say, trisomy. It's T-R-I-S-O-M-Y, 18. And it causes a high potential for causing heart defects and other organ defects. And it has a very high miscarriage rate if your unborn child it has this, most of those pregnancies or majority of those pregnancies will end in miscarriage. And of the 10% that survive, they don't survive to their first birthday. So this is an incredibly serious birth defect that is very likely life-threatening to the child. So they found this out and they decided that the most humane thing for them, for themselves to do for both the mother and the unborn child was to terminate the pregnancy. And so they had to, like you said, they had to apply to be able to do this because, again, she was 20 weeks pregnant at the time. And Texas is it's the heartbeat. When the heartbeat, so usually it's 6 weeks.
There's two things. It's, go ahead. It's the heartbeat, but it's mm-hmm. also the application was required based on the number of weeks, but also yep. because you have to prove a threat to the life of the mother, which yes. in this case, there is not a high threat to the life of the mother. Now, there right. is not, there are threats to potential future capability to birth another child, to have another child. She yes. may, you know, the effects of this condition may affect her and her ability to have a child after this pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So, but not life-threatening to her.
Right.
And those, unfortunately, are the stipulations. And I say, unfortunately, those are the stipulations in for her case, for mm-hmm. her specific situation. And this is the gray area stuff we're talking about. There's no or very, very little threat to her life, which is a requirement in the state of Texas past a certain number of weeks for a mother to apply. You know, that requires them to apply for an abortion. Mm-hmm. As the pregnancy goes on, as you said, the likelihood of a miscarriage and the likelihood of her, you know, the degradation or elimination of her ability to carry a child for a future pregnancy, those chances go up and they continue to go up. She's made multiple trips to the emergency room. She's there has been medical complications for her. Nothing, again, life-threatening, but again, trips to the ER and some other things. So it's not getting better, right?
Right.
So they tried to do everything within the law. They tried to put in for the application. The Attorney General of the state of Texas fought tooth and nail against this because she didn't meet the stipulations because mm-hmm. there was no threat to her life. So when it got to a point where they really, really had to make a decision, this young lady had to do what we all knew was going to happen in a lot of these cases. And yes. and I don't know where she went, but I know yep. that she left the state of Texas to go somewhere else to go get this abortion.
Right.
And that is not, I don't care what side of the argument you're on. That is not mm-hmm. a position that any of us wish upon a mother carrying a child, right?
Right.
To be put in that position where you've got to wait on bureaucracy of all things mm-hmm. to make these kinds of, and listen, this family didn't take this lightly.
No.
This wasn't a haphazard. I plan B pill the next, you know, it's not that,
right.
That's not no. what this is. And, you know, I don't know your beliefs because we've never talked about this, but I have a mm-hmm. feeling I know where you sit on this issue. but I know you, and I know that you're a loving human being. And I right. know that you don't want the mother to have to go through, no mother to have to go through these kinds of things.
No, no, this is
a horrible, horrible thing. And
it
this
is absolutely gut wrenching.
It is. And we don't yeah. want this for anybody, but this is where lawmakers have failed, truthfully, mm-hmm. right? They have failed in all of this. And again, states' rights to Texas decides what is good for Texas. And,
right.
you know, if you don't like it, then move out of Texas. Okay.
Right. Me, right.
Right. That's the argument.
Yeah.
But in this case, they have failed. My opinion, I think they've failed. They've left mm-hmm. way too much of a gray area, or they've made it way too stringent on purpose without right. considering the effect of cases like this. And I think it's yeah. an abject failure by the state of Texas, one, in the way their law is structured, and mm-hmm. two, in the horrible, horrible amount of time that this has taken, that has forced this mother to just say, you know what, screw it, and right. to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
which we don't
yeah.
want. Nobody wants that.
No.
But Texas, this is a failure on Texas. I'm sorry. There's no two ways. You can't cut it a different way in my mind, in my heart. Texas has screwed this one up bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I sat with this one for a long time today, really, really thinking about it. And I am a pro-lifer. And, you know, so of course it was a lot of struggle with me internally to really think about all of the sides of this, because I can be very black and white about it, that, you know, a child an unborn child has a right to the opportunity to life. And, you know, but the other side of that is I'm a, like you said, I'm a compassionate, caring person. I'm a mother. I put myself as best as you possibly can mentally in her situation. And it's everything that you said. This woman this wasn't some light, oops, you know, got to get rid of it. This is not that. And what she has had to go through is, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. You know, you're going through, and she's got two children also. So she is a wife, she is a mother, and now she is carrying a child that she will almost definitely have to watch die. And there's no gray area there. That is pretty much, you know, close to guaranteed, whether it's prior to birth, by miscarriage, or after birth, when she's holding her child in her arms, you're going to hold, I mean, as a mother, to even think about it, I could start crying right now, just to even think about that. So that side of me really truly does win and say, you know what? They did drop the ball. They dropped the ball hard on this. And this is actually cruel and inhumane, what they've done to this woman and what they're putting her through or have put her through. And and it is so typical of our lawmakers that they do these knee-jerk reactions. And they did the same thing with gun laws here in my state. They rushed so quickly to get these gun laws in that they missed a really big important piece, which is a whole other story and we won't even go into it. But it was because they were so quick to, you know, to win, to get their laws set in place so that they win. They lost their humanity and they did not think it through. And it wasn't a balanced, thoughtful, planned out law. And this is what happens. And this is not the only case. There's another case that is either happened before or subsequently, I'm actually not sure, but this won't be the last of that. So now they really have no choice but to address this law and how they can fix it. I don't know. Texas is pretty tough and stern. Maybe they're just going to say, no, this is what it is and suck it up. I have no idea. But it was a huge eye opener and I think it helped absolutely no one, benefited no one whatsoever.
Yeah. This is we've heard it since, you know, well, forever, mm-hmm. you know, that, but it's become more prevalent, you know, in the last few years. And that is, you know, the abortion is healthcare argument, right?
Which right.
I've never, so my take on that is like, you know, all thumbs are fingers, but not all fingers are thumbs, right? In the sense that, yes. And I know that sounds stupid. It's very simplified, but it's the same
thing. I like it.
Right.
Right.
All, you know, healthcare, this is a case where abortion is healthcare. Right. Yeah. This is.
Yeah. This is a one of those cases.
Are,
right.
Right. Right. Not all abortions are, in my opinion. This one definitely is. This is healthcare, right? Health mm-hmm. of the mother mentally, physiologically, like this is healthcare.
But, yes.
But, you know, unfortunately, we make everything black and white when it's really not. And this is, again, this is a gray case that mm-hmm. the person who is suffering the most in this is that mother. And yes. I you can't feel worse about this for anybody. That woman is enduring or did endure, or it continues to endure the worst effects of bureaucracy that come to mind. Period.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
I hope that, you know, I hope that there is good that can come from this and that the good that would come from it is better legislation, better lawmaking, better, more compassionate and thoughtful lawmaking there, because that was a bad one. That was a really bad one. And my heart breaks for that family. What an awful experience to go through privately. And then to have to go to these lengths and have it become public, you know, her name is out there, her face is out there.
Yep.
And, you know, and I just, yeah, my prayers are with that family as they go through this, because, you know, it's a double, it's a double slam for them, you know, this tremendous loss. And there's a lot of things going on at 20 weeks. And, you know, so there's no question that this was not like you said, not taken lightly in any way. Yeah. And yeah, it's just sad. So I do hope that some good can come from it.
So I'm gonna challenge our lawmakers and for their New Year's resolution, right? Mm-hmm. This is our last show of the year. So I'm gonna challenge our lawmakers, their New Year's resolution across the board at every level across the United States is do better.
Yes. Right?
Just do better. That's do all better. We want. That's all any of us want as Americans, yeah. as voters, as your constituency, to all of our lawmakers out there, mm-hmm. do better. Do better yeah. for us. Not for you, not for your agenda, not for your financial backers, not for your donors. Any of that crap. Do better. Do better for yeah. us. Go to work every day. Show up every day. Fetterman, put a tie on, right?
Put just a tie on.
As a whole, as a group, as a population for our country, do better for us, for the citizens of the United States. Do better. That's my challenge to them. Make it their New Year's resolution. Do better.
I like it. And that's, you know what? We cannot close out our show any better, I think, than that. I think that is our closing statement right there. And we will just put the cherry on top with wishing everyone, we didn't forget, wishing everyone a safe, happy, healthy, wonderful holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas to you. If you're celebrating Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah to you. And I wish you all an incredibly blessed, wonderful new year. And we will see you after it. Clay, want to say your goodbye?
Happy New Year's, everybody. Happy holidays. Be safe. To you and yours, again, happy holidays. Keep moving, keep shooting.